And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Ali Shilton.
I'm Steffi Barnett, and today on the show, My 5 Plus.
Yes, we got My 5 from Paul Middleton, of all people.
And Terry puts the rainbow over the wireless.
And our regular slots with the guys and girls from Just Like Us. All coming today, right here on Shout Out. Hello, Terry.
Hello.
How are you, mate?
I'm all right, thank you. Nice to be here.
So, it's a funky like backing track, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I used to know who it was as well, but it's been our backing track for so long, I can't really remember.
Has. And long-time listeners might remember that before it, we used Queer as Folk, from the Channel 4 soundtrack to that programme, which is 20 years old.
I could bring that back for a couple of weeks.
I think we should bring it back next year, because February next year will be the 20th anniversary of the transmission of the first episode of Queer as Folk, which, of course, for LGBT people of a certain generation, was very groundbreaking.
I loved it. I really enjoyed it. Although it was really weird the effect it had on Manchester, because of course Manchester's gay scene was kind of quite gay until that point, and when it was almost normalised by the TV show, and suddenly everywhere you went there was hen parties and those straight people, and of course
some people blame it for killing off the sort of the original vibe of the Canal Street gay village up there.
Of course it was the kind of time when the gay scene was really the gay scene. I mean it was like 1996, I think.
The Queer as Folk came in 1999 it went out, but
that always feels as though it came out a lot earlier, Queer as Folk.
Yeah,
because I always thought it was like the late 80s.
No,
Queer as Folk.
No, it was 90s.
It
was Russell. It was a Russell T Davies one.
It was. I think it was the first time he'd written for television, I believe. Yeah,
really,
his first series.
I mean, the controversy it caused was just
but some cracking tracks in it.
Oh well, yeah,
great dance music was in it. Absolutely cracking. Remember, Hold That Sucker Down. Do you remember that track?
Yeah. I play it on H&H.
It's got loads of like abracadabra in it and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it was groundbreaking for a time. And if you haven't seen it, I believe it's still available from. Yeah. DVD stores and so on. You can buy the original release.
There's two CD collections.
Yeah, blue one and orange one.
Yeah.
But you can actually get the DVDs as well. I don't think, to my knowledge, it's not on Netflix or anything like that. But it might be on Channel 4's Watch Again thing. Mm. They sometimes put the old ones on there, don't they?
Yes. So. What's it called? Is it All Four?
All Four. I think it used to be 4OD, didn't it? I think it's now All Four.
What did you think of the American version?
I kind of gave up after a couple.
I couldn't get into that.
No, I couldn't.
It didn't seem as raw as the original British.
No.
I think it was sanitised. I think that was a major complaint of some people, whereas in 1999, Channel 4 was still the radical station, if you remember that, from its original remit. And it was very, as you say, controversial. In fact, some LGBT people were not too happy about the way the community was portrayed in parts of Queer as Folk, the original.
It was really interesting, though, because at the time, it was exactly the same as my experience of the gay scene. It was genuinely that fickle. Because there's a lot of it that's all about, pulling, basically, in an awful lot of it.
Are you saying all that's using and abusing?
Well, no, I wasn't going to say that, but it was very much like it was portrayed in my experience at the age of, I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And I have watched it back recently, and I was actually quite horrified. And I was like, oh my God, I remember this is what the scene's like. I'm so glad it's not like that now.
I was going to say, I like to think that it's changed, and especially in Bristol, I think we've actually got quite a range of LGBT scene. I mean, I know there's only a few venues currently trading, but you've got
the
student side, you've got the Bear Bar, which is for more mature people, and then you've got sort of specialist fetish clubs and things like that. So it's
and I noticed the what was once the Retreat is being done up at the moment.
Ooh.
Do you remember it changing? It became known as the Duchess.
It's the Dutch, yeah.
I noticed last week when we went for a drink after the show that they were gutting it out. It looks like that may will reopen.
Please don't tell me they're going to level the floor up.
I have no idea.
Please don't level
the floor. No idea. And I haven't heard what's happening with the palace either, which has been closed for a while.
Because yeah, if you're a drag queen, you can wear your 6-inch heels and and be actually straight, level. Not straight, but level. Straight is the wrong word.
Anyway, exactly what you mean.
We're going to change topic completely. And we're going to hand over to Ivan for this week's My Five, which is unusual because they're not normally interview style, but
no, this is our first My Five that's actually an interview.
So but this is with Paul Middleton.
My Five on Shout Out.
So quite randomly, I'm up in Wells next to sea in deepest, darkest Norfolk. Actually, it's not so deep, not so dark, because it's on the beach and it's absolutely beautiful. And I just happen to have bumped into singer-songwriter Paul Middleton. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Ivan.
What on earth are you doing up here? You're normally hanging around land and town, aren't you?
I am, but I've got a gig here today.
Oh, what's up? How's that then? How do you end up up here?
Well, one of the organisers, Shirley, she saw one of my songs, which I wrote, called Hanging In There, a bit of a plug, Hanging In There, and it's she saw it, she looked up the rest of my stuff, and she saw my covers, and she rang me up, and she said, would you come and sing? And, you know, it's a big carnival, and I was like, oh yeah, definitely. I think this is actually going to be my biggest gig I've ever done today.
And there is such a great atmosphere up here. But listen, tell us a little bit of a backstory to that single you just mentioned.
There is.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So the song's called Hanging In There, and these directors of a film, an independent film called Hanging In There, funny enough, approached me and said they wanted me to write a song for their film. And I was delighted and really up for it, and they're really lovely people, wrote the song, they loved it. And the aim of the song and the connection is they are raising awareness and money for testicular cancer. Now, the work I do with my own albums and music is for cancer research, so they saw the connection, and it's really, you know, cancer is a massive thing for me. My mum died of cancer when I was 15, and it's something I've always been you know, passionate to kind of raise awareness, try and raise money for it through my music. So and they said, would you do it? And I went, yes.
So, we've got a bit of ABBA going on in the background. I guess that's a really important thing, is it? Because this whole music career that you built around yourself, it's all charitable, isn't it?
It is. Any profits kind of from CD sales or like downloads or stream or anything like that, it goes to it goes to cancer research. So, and people have been very, very, very supportive, and I've had some amazing opportunities through the gay scene. You know, I've been to America, I've been to New York, Orlando, I've been to Belgium, I've been to Ireland, I've been to Germany, and many places in the UK. And I am so lucky to that these opportunities have come away, and I'm so grateful, you know, for people kind of like wanting to get me involved or in their event or whatever. I really am grateful.
Now, I know you've already got one covers album out there. A little bird tells me that there might be another one on the way soon.
Oh, how do you know that? Yeah, there is. It's about 80% done. It's gonna be definitely my most mixed album in terms of like the up tempo, some 80s stuff. There'll be some modern stuff. There'll be some ballads there, which I think people kind of connect to me to. Oh, I can hear. Oh, knowing me, knowing you.
You're supporting the ABBA tribute band tonight, aren't you? That's going to be a lot of fun.
I am. I haven't met them yet, but I saw the blonde one, and I saw one of the guys with the long hair. I think they might be Swedish. I want to find out if they're actually Swedish.
The real thing. So, Paul, if anybody wants to know more about your music and what you're up to, where you're gigging, etc., have you got a website, Facebook, for example?
Yeah. If you want to kind of check out my links, go to my website, which is www.paulmmusic.com, and then there's links to my Facebook and my Instagram. That's kind of really where I engage with people the most, really, is Facebook and Instagram. Instagram, Paul M Music. Check it out. I'd love to see you all. Come join. Come join.
All the usual places. Paul Middleton, have a great gig tonight, and thanks so much for talking to me tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for letting me do this with you. Thank you.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
And that's Paul Middleton. And they're hanging in there.
What a lovely voice.
Nice song, yeah.
That is such a silky nice voice. Yeah, loving that.
So.
That's smooth.
It is nice voice, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, Paul Middleton, and they're hanging in there, so. Now, Terry, the next bit is kind of your lovely self, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It's a little
bit... It's a My Five plus My Five.
Yeah, they can't shut me up, so they have to give me a longer slot.
Equals 10.
So this is a little bit about how a young gay radio enthusiast came to where I was in 2010 when we started Shout Out. I discovered an interest in the media when I was quite young, and as a result, it has formed a background to my entire life. I was 8 years old when Radio West came on the air in 1981. It was not Bristol's first local radio service. That accolade belongs to our friends at BBC Radio Bristol, who started in September 1970. But Radio West was our first commercial station. It was dynamic and punchy, and my parents took me to see its studio at the Watershed Complex. You could look in a window and see the on-air DJ. Looking back now, its studio was really cramped. It was actually broom cupboard broadcasting.
Well, 13 last week and still at number 13, that's Billy Joel and An Innocent Man. Good afternoon, you're listening to the Top 30 chart on Radio West. I'm Paul Fear. And we'll hear the number 14 after the news, which is coming up now on 238 metres medium wave, 1260 kHz and FM stereo 96.3. It's West.
There were lots of local commercial stations back in the early 80s, which have since become part of larger networks. Stations such as CBC in Cardiff, Gwent Broadcasting in Newport and Wiltshire Radio in Wootton Bassett. However, it was the alternative radio scene that most captured the imagination during those years, as the radio underground was booming. Radio Luxembourg transmitted every evening from high-powered transmitters situated just outside Luxembourg City, and much to the annoyance of the British authorities, could be heard loud and clear till its close down at 3 a.m. every morning on 208 metres medium wave.
Medium wave, 1440 kilohertz AM. This is Radio Luxembourg, RTL 208. Station of the 80s. Broadcasting to Great Britain and Europe with 1,300,000 watts of power from transmitters in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg. Radio Luxembourg, RTL 208, Britain's only national commercial radio station with music, news and more. This is the Station of the 80s.
By day, reception was decent in Bristol from the two offshore radio stations, pirates transmitting from ships anchored just beyond British territorial waters. Laser was one of the most successful pirate radio stations of all time, operating off and on from the MV Communicator between February 1984 and April 1987. Here it is, just returning to the air after a lengthy break.
Laser is back!
Returning to your radio sets, Laser is back. Bigger and better than ever before. More powerful. Hot rockin' and flame throwin'. the new formula of hot hits.
Look like an Egyptian.
Hot hits.
So you're in the army.
And oldies. Yes, Laser is back. It's new, it's improved, it's better than ever before. Program details will be announced soon. Go tell a friend. Tell them Laser is back. And stay tuned to this channel.
You're listening to an engineering test transmission from the MV Communicator, anchored in the international waters of the North Sea. Reception reports would be appreciated. Send them to Suite 3600, 515 Madison Avenue, New York, New York, 10022 in the USA. And keep listening.
Yes, Laser is back. It's new. It's improved. It's better than ever before. Program details will be announced soon. Go tell a friend. Tell them Laser is back. And stay tuned to this channel.
And of course, there was Radio Caroline from the Ross Revenge, anchored not far from Laser and playing a diet of alternative rock music.
Loving awareness, Radio Caroline. Love and good music, Radio Caroline.
Since its 70s incarnation, Radio Caroline had promoted a hippie-inspired philosophy of loving awareness, the idea that if you gave out love energy, that would be reciprocated to you. I guess this had an impact on my thinking about the world. I distinctly remember being in our old camper van and being tuned to Caroline on 576 kHz on Saturday the 1st of June 1985. The news bulletins that day led with the police raid on the peace convoy in a field off the A303 in Wiltshire, an event that has gone down in countercultural history as the Battle of the Beanfield. Radio Caroline was one of the alternative media sources that reported the experience of the people beaten and arrested that day. And as I progressed into secondary school, which I initially utterly hated, it all made me consider how different groups are treated in society and how even a mature democracy like Britain has authoritarian elements within it. As the 80s progressed, Bristol, like many other towns and cities, gained a plethora of local FM pirate stations, taking advantage of new technologies and the new wave of youth counterculture that developed around the rave scene. Over the years, Bristol has had dozens of unlicensed stations, many of whom were precursors to today's legal community radio stations. I first broadcast on an open access project called Savage Yet Tender Radio, which broadcast on 104.4 FM between 1988 and 1992. You could send in a tape to its box number at a Radical bookstore and get on the air. The station was one of Bristol's most eclectic, with indie, punk, ska, northern soul and heavy metal alongside speech-based programmes. In the early 90s, I had the pleasure of making programmes for a variety of stations. TNT Radio broadcast to South Bristol from a bedroom-based transmitter and was a direct ancestor to today's South Bristol Community Project, Base Radio. Then Radio Ability, a shortwave pirate station based in the West Midlands, which was the brainchild of disabled rights activist Tony Page, and again a sort of ancestor to the internet station Able Radio, which streams today from Torvine. I was one of the lucky generation who had the opportunity to go to uni without astronomical fees. There I contributed to one of several local pirate stations, the Radical Radio Gnome Invisible, as well as doing some more legit work for the hospital station Radio Bronglies, which I'm pleased to report still exists and has grown to become a local FM service for the town. I've been back in Bristol for nearly 20 years now, and have been delighted to see the gay and trans scene grow. Yes, in fits and starts, but the city today is a relatively liberal place where our rainbow community can enjoy many of the freedoms so hard won in the UK. In the early noughties, the Labour government of Tony Blair acknowledged that the government had lost the battle for control of Britain's airwaves. The huge amount of piracy during the 1990s, coupled with the advent of internet streaming, meant that they had little choice but to legalise community and small-scale radio stations in a gradual process that is still ongoing. In Bristol, restricted service licences for the Barton Hill-based project Radio 19 in 2005 and 2006 led to the creation of BCFM, the city's first legal community radio service, going on the air on March 26, 2007. At that time, I was working in the Bristol branch of the gay shop Clone Zone, where I was particularly keen on making available the gay and transgender press, magazines and books. And so from there, it was a small step to formulating ideas for an LGBT magazine programme for local community radio. The original plan for what became Shoutout was a lot different to what it eventually became. It was originally very worthy, but rather dull, a kind of gay version of Today on BBC Radio 4. When Andy Shilton joined the project, he brought with him the experience of running one of the first streaming gay stations on the web, Mancast, which opened in 1999, and therefore a more hybrid magazine show was formulated. For me, it was a nice circular synchronicity that the very first experimental episode of Shoutout in 2010 went out in a programme hosted by Steve Satan, who all those years ago was a presenter on Radio Caroline. So here to finish is the late Tony Allen, who incidentally was the first out gay radio presenter in the UK.
Caroline and Mi Amigo invite you to sail away on an ocean of love. Love 24 hours a day, Caroline and Mi Amigo sailing away on the love ship. And we'd like you to join us. It's easy. Just climb aboard the love ship and sail away.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The love affair, everlasting
love. It was in so many movies. I think the last one it was in was Bridget Jones.
But oh, right, yeah.
I just love that group.
It's the arrangement, isn't it? It's absolutely fabulous.
Yeah,
it's
they did Rainbow Valley as well, which is another good one of those.
No idea.
60s, my darling, yeah. 60s, yeah, way out, sock it to me, baby.
I just love the fact you both go love together.
Love.
So, anyway, generation. Terry, will you mind if we get some news headlines?
Of course you can. Is Shout Out News on Thursday the 16th of August, and we start with an addendum. In our news last week, we reported that an England cricketer on trial in Bristol for possible affray when he was allegedly supporting some gay friends who were being abused had been acquitted. Well, at that point in time, this was not the case. It was one of the other men in the case who had had his charges dropped. We do apologise for any misunderstanding. However, as you may have seen on the news channels on your television over the last couple of days, the cricketer in question, Ben Stokes, has been found not guilty at Bristol Crown Court. As was reported in the gay media and in mainstream papers such as The Metro, the gay men whom he was protecting have now spoken out to thank Mr. Stokes for coming to their aid and to physically confronting the homophobes who were threatening them. The atheist magazine The Free Thinker this month reports that a heterosexual Christian woman who abused her daughter in a case that was described to the court as brutal has now had the effrontery to criticise the placing of her offspring with foster parents. Michaela Souza of Wisconsin inflicted such physical abuse on her daughter that the child suffered spinal injuries and bleeding on the brain. The courts intervened and have placed the girl with a stable and loving gay family. Souza, who described herself as trying to lead a God-fearing life, complained about this placement, but the judge laughed her case out of court and imprisoned her for 8 years for child abuse. The princess of pop music, Kylie Minogue, who has a huge following amongst gay and trans people, is this year becoming the voice of the BBC's Music Day. This event will run across BBC radio and television services, including most of its national networks, services for the Celtic countries like Radio Wales, and local services such as Radios Bristol and Somerset. On Friday the 28th of September, a large lineup of live and recorded music will air across the radio waves and will also tie in with the BBC's coverage for Freshers Weekend, which is when universities welcome new students, and which will be covered extensively on the BBC Youth Network's Radios 1 and 1 Extra. Kylie herself, meanwhile, will also be recording special announcements for the Railway Network to promote the BBC's Music Day. Now, we love reporting on successes in the gay media, and we are delighted to note that, despite the general decline in the print media in this unglamorous internet age, several gay, lesbian, bi and transgender magazines have survived. Now, the gay and bi men's paper Boys has just turned issue number 1400, having been founded way back in 1991. The magazine began life as a newspaper-sized publication, with its famous pin-ups at the back and a lively correspondence page where men could meet other guys with similar interest. Well, today it's an A4 magazine in weekly format, but is still lovingly produced from the heart of the gay scene in London. And here in the West Country, you can pick up a free copy from the LGBT lifestyle shop Prowler on Bond Street in Bristol. Activists working with humanist students in the United States have reported that non-religious people should be aware that a fundamentalist grouping considered by LGBT people to be a hate group are targeting non-heterosexual and secular youngsters with untrue and fantastical claims about homosexuality. The group Anchored North is described by some of its former members as a cult-like group, according to a report on the Newswire Gay Star News, and has been using what is described as sophisticated algorithms to identify and then bombard YouTube users who are gay, bisexual, or not sufficiently Christian enough with religious messages. The fundamentalists' activities are felt by many atheist campaigners to breach YouTube standards, and anyone targeted in this way is encouraged to report them to YouTube management. It's long been the contention of gay activists that people with homophobic views are prone to violence, and evidence to back up this view has come to light from Minnesota in the States, where a happy lesbian family has been undermined by homophobic extremists who have threatened to murder the couple's adored daughter. Angie and Jane Mace from the town of St. Peter have been threatened by repeated death threats and hate mail, which have included talk of stalking the pair's young daughter. Now, the good news is that the Maces have been inundated with messages of love and support from the gay community and allies worldwide. Angie and James have set up a crowdfunding page to raise cash to help pay for a reward for any information that leads to the identification of the homophobic individual. You can pop along to our website to find out more. And finally, the August issue of the local magazine B247 is out now, available from community centres, libraries and shops throughout the Greater Bristol area. Their regular LGBT page catches up with the organisers of the music night Bitch Please, finding out about their plans and learning more about this quality house night which takes place in the city. So for these news stories and more, you can check back our excellent website. It's shoutoutradio.lgbt, and for Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shoutout News.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The amazing Shirley Bassey with her version of the original by Pink, of course. And yes. That's Get the Party Started.
Can't get the range, dear.
Whilst we're talking of divas, we should acknowledge, of course, the sad death today of Aretha Franklin.
Absolutely, yeah.
We'll have a big gay and trans following, you know, because she was, you know, the biggest diva in soul music in the 60s and 70s. Yeah.
Yeah, very sad. So, moving on. This week's it's time for Just Like This.
Just Like Us.
Sorry, yeah, I always say that wrong, don't I? Yeah.
Just Like Us for LGBT young people. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 5 of the Just Like Us podcast. I'm Noura,
and I am not Matthew. I'm Clodagh. Absolute chaos. Matthew has graduated.
We're very proud of him.
Very proud of him. Which means he's left the Bristol JLU team for now. In the meantime, you've got me.
Yeah, great. So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about Section 28, a clause in the Local Government Act of 1988. And it meant that local authorities and school couldn't, quote unquote, promote homosexuality. So, in effect, this meant that councils were prohibited from funding of books, plays, leaflets, films, and other materials showing same-sex relationships. And teachers weren't generally allowed to teach about gay relationships in schools.
Yeah.
And then it was repealed in 2001 in Scotland and 2003 in the rest of the UK.
Yeah, so surprisingly recent from what you'd consider about the LGBT history. Should we talk a little bit about kind of the history of it? Because obviously the 1980s was a very big time for LGBT rights, because there was so much going on.
Oh yeah, so much.
Yeah, because homosexuality was kind of only decriminalised in the 1960s, so this is only 20 years previous.
I think it's interesting, actually, because Section 28 came out like a kind of turning point in history, and a turning point in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
In that things were fairly progressive in the 60s and 70s. We got lots of civil rights wins, as it were.
Yeah, from across the board, not just with LGBT rights, but obviously with women, with everything about African-American rights and things like that. So it was just very, very progressive, and then the 80s happened, and there was...
things kind of, turned the other way, as it were.
Yeah, not for the better.
Not for the better. It's interesting, there are lots of different reasons Section 28 happened when it did. A big one, I think, was the AIDS crisis.
Yes.
That led to LGBT people being quite demonised in the media, the public press, tabloid newspapers, etc.
Yeah. Because I guess if you don't know what being gay is, and if you're not actually taught this at a young age, you kind of don't really know what you can talk about.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
So we've talked a lot about kind of the background to Section 28 and kind of where it came from, what it actually did. And I guess it's quite hard for us because we can't really speak about what it was like living under Section 28 because we were barely alive. But there is still a legacy of Section 28. Do we want to talk about that and kind of how... even now, I guess, like sex ed and things like that, people just don't really talk about it.
Definitely.
Like, you will talk to so few people that have actually had, like, LGBT specific PSHE classes. Like, I know that when I was like 18, there was one passing mention to, oh, if you're not going to be in a heterosexual relationship, that's fine. But, like, that's it.
7 words.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Like, I didn't listen to any sex ed classes because I was so firmly believing that I was a lesbian. I was like, there's nothing that you can say to me that I will need to know. I'm bisexual, actually, which I didn't know, which I regret a lot of things because I don't know anything about contraception.
I am a lesbian, and so I can confirm that 100% of my sex ed was useless.
Yeah. And I guess because so few people want to actually talk about LGBT, like, the nitty-gritty of it, because they think so few people are actually going to need to know it. But, like, for the people that do need to know it, they really need to know it.
Oh,
like,
definitely, yeah.
Sitting in sex ed, if you're, say, asexual, and just everything, like, going over your head because you don't understand why it's a thing that you need to know. Like, if you just don't know because nobody's ever told you in schools about what it is to be asexual or trans or pan, like, you're just not gonna pay attention, you're not going to understand, and you're going to be at such a disadvantage.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of going around your school, taking out 10% of the kids and saying you can't have sex ed. That would be stupid as a policy, but it's functionally what's happening to LGBT people.
Exactly.
Actually, if you look at the stats, only 13% of peoples say they covered sex ed that was relevant to LGBT issues, which is silly.
Very. Because
13%, that's not even a fifth.
No, it's not. We also really need to talk about the fact that, like, 9 in 10 teachers say they want to tackle homophobic bullying, but 94% haven't actually had any training on how to do so.
Mm.
So I don't know if you have any experiences, but I definitely do, of teachers wanting to support LGBT students, but then clearly not knowing what to do.
I think lots of teachers just have no idea, or not no idea, but just feel like they're not equipped enough to use the right terms and sort of say the right things.
Yes.
Which is fair enough, because if I wasn't LGBT, I probably wouldn't either.
Exactly.
And it's just getting that training in place and making sure teachers feel confident in their ability to combat it, I suppose.
Like, it just goes all directions. Like, clearly, Section 28 has had a huge legacy that's impacted everyone. Like, you can't just say, oh, it's just affecting the children, it's just affecting this group of people. Like, no, it's very much affecting everyone for something that will ultimately be of the detriment to LGBT students. We've got some quotes down from the actual legislation where it calls homosexuality as a pretended family relationship, which, this is again an audio medium so you can't see the air quotes, but there's, I hope you can tell how sarcastic I'm trying to be, because there's nothing pretend about the genuine, like, love that gay people have. Like,
you're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
Only 30 years is frustratingly, like, that's so frustratingly recent.
It's just scary.
Very.
And the fact that it turned around so quickly from being quite tolerant to being quite intolerant kind of mirrors almost the trends we're seeing now.
Yes.
Where I think a lot of LGBT people feel as though things right now, with the climate of Trumpism and conservatism and, like, far-right extremism, feel as though it's that kind of point.
We go into schools to talk to students, we have a very, like, on-the-ground approach, and really it's quite astonishing how Just Like Us can actually go into schools and talk explicitly about being LGBT and what that's like, whereas 15 years ago that would have literally been illegal.
Yeah, that would, like, we couldn't have existed as an organization.
Well, on that note, it's been lovely speaking to you.
Thank you. Lovely speaking to you too.
Thank you to everybody for listening.
Yes.
We don't know who the next presenter will be after this. I should still hopefully be here.
You will hopefully be here. I may or may not be. Who knows?
It'll be a big surprise.
It's exciting for all of us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people. The show was hosted by Clodagh and Noura, produced by Samantha and Rosie, and edited by Daniel and Clodagh. The music was by Twisterion. We come into schools too. Young people, teachers and parents can find us at www.justlikeus.org.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT Radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
That's Sash. Yes. Stay.
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 Stay. Stay. Please stay.
That takes me back to a bit of gay clubbing day.
We were trying to debate whether it's 90s or noughties. I think that's early noughties.
Right. Google it.
Well, of course, Sash, of course, first of all, was on Cool and Fly, if you remember that.
I do.
Remember it. Yeah. It's one of my favourites.
97,
cracking
That's probably about
tune.
Right, 97,
They don't make them like that anymore. We were just having that discussion, weren't we?
Well, State, because he did one in every different language, didn't he?
Ah!
So, State is the English one, and Cool and Fly was the French one. You had oh, now you're testing my memory. But he did lots of them, and each one was in a different language, so
excellent.
But yeah, that was a classic one. I used to dance my ass off to that.
Bopping to that.
Are you allowed to ask twice we've used that word in tonight's show? Yeah. Shirley Bassey said it, and then you said it.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to say arse, well, are you?
No, you can't say ass. You can say arse.
Arse, okay.
But not ass. It's not allowed.
We're British.
Ofcom will shut us down.
Yes, we're British.
So say it properly.
I'm so sorry. And we were talking earlier as well. We must bring about a return to some of the funny jingles that we used to have, didn't we?
Yes.
So some of them were voiceovers for us.
Absolutely.
So some of which are in the collection that will never be broadcast.
Yes.
ask me if you ever see me in the bar, and we'll tell you about them. But yeah.
Absolutely. That reminds me. Do you remember? I think some of it's available on YouTube now. Of course, highly adult. But in the '70s, the BBC VT engineers, videotape engineers, would make a Christmas tape of some bloopers, but also some very naughty sketches that the various programmes would come out with.
Well, isn't that how that rainbow one got
that,
out?
The rainbow one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was made by Thames Television.
Yeah. Totally filled with innuendo.
Yeah.
And it was made for the Christmas party at Thames TV, you see.
Him peeling the banana, I seem to recall. Counting as he went.
Absolutely obscene.
Yeah. It was apparently wrong. Done, though, as part of a kind of like on-set party that they had.
That's right, yes.
But they actually recorded it. Of course, it's leaked. If you go on YouTube, you'll see it.
Yeah. There was something wrong with a mouth with the zip.
Yes. Yeah. It's really difficult because we can't talk about it, but yeah, it's a...
YouTube is a YouTube
course of
great.
Put it on and watch it. Yeah, you'll be in hysterics.
Yeah, but no, we'll see if we can make some more jingles. And we need to get all the jingles as well, because of course we interviewed so many people at Pride and we haven't got around to editing them down yet either.
Yeah,
so.
There's lots and lots. Yeah.
And we got
Alessandra Burke, Snap.
Yep. Snap.
Republica.
That's my Snap impersonation.
I was very pleased.
Yeah, don't give up your day job, Terry.
Sorry, Terry. Did you? There you go.
You
know that's just going to end up in a jingle now, don't you? So.
Of course, looking ahead, I mean, I suppose we're gonna have to drag out all the fabulous stuff we've done over the last decade, because... Eventually, we're going to hit 10 years.
Yeah,
aren't we?
Well, we're in our eighth this year, aren't we? So, turn nine next year.
Yeah.
And it looks like, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but it looks like we will be on 10 stations before our 10th birthday at the moment. Fingers crossed.
I think we will.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, because we're on eight now.
Hello to all our new listeners, by the way. It's lovely to have you joining us.
Nine Radio. Good evening to those of you on Nine Radio. And those of you will be listening at 9 o'clock on Glastonbury and Gloss FM.
And of course, Froome.
They're live. BSR. Froome is live. Pirate Nation is live, and so is BCFM. And BCFM repeat at midnight tonight as well.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to saying KTFM.
Yes, when Keynsham launch, hopefully, you know, we'll see. They're due to start in April 2019. So that'll be cool.
It's marvellous. Age of radio.
Does that music mean we got a go?
It does, I'm afraid.
It does.
Yeah.
Regrettably.
So that means that's it for this week. Thank you very much for joining us.
As always, everything is available to catch up on the podcast feeds available on iTunes, Google Podcasts, on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Which is now back up and running, I'm very pleased to say. So all the podcasts should start rolling out. Anyway, next week we'll be catching up with Avon and Somerset Police. So do join us
again.
For that. But from myself, Steph and Terry, say bye-bye. One and all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.